Over the past couple of weeks, if you've been with us, you've noticed that we've been bringing these four passages, or three so far, that were brought to the elders' retreat. Last week, you might remember Tony took us through 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He reminded us that people see our faith as we struggle along to believe, as we struggle along to follow after Jesus. He reminded us that we can't be the servant God wants us to be, but God can do this in us. God gives us, his people, his spirit, his word, and his body, the church, one another. And we're called to live lives that are worthy of being called children of God. And these lives are lived out of and because of God's grace, his free gift. Bob reminded us the week before that, from John chapter 6, about the importance of believing in the one whom God has said, who sent. You know, what is the work God requires to believe? To believe in Jesus. Jesus Christ, to enjoy the relationship that has been restored between us and God through Jesus. Tony, the week before that, took us through 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where Paul's prayer for them is our prayer for each other this year, the verse we're reflecting on for this year. The Lord would direct our hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. And the fourth and last of these passages is the one we're looking at this morning from John chapter 15. Let me read the passage for us. John 15, 1 to 17. Jesus is speaking these words. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. My greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. I think it might help us this morning if we look at this in this passage in three parts. Firstly, Jesus as the vine. Secondly, the two different branches he speaks of. And lastly, what does this mean for us? So let's first look at Jesus as the vine. And this vine imagery that Jesus uses is found many times in the Old Testament of the Bible, where the vine is a picture used to speak of Israel, the nation that God chose. So Israel was the vine. However, every time it is used of Israel, it is in the context of God's judgment because of their disobedience and sin against him. Israel were a vine that did not produce good fruit. Let me read one of these pictures of Israel from Isaiah chapter 5. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I'll tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I'll break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and berries and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Israel failed to produce good fruit. They continued to fail as a nation by rebelling against their God, failing to live lives worthy of the calling that they had received. Constantly, Israel rebelled against God by worshipping other gods, mistreating one another, killing and showing no love for God, who continually rescued them from their enemies. And Jesus says here in our passage this morning, I am the true vine. I am the perfect Israel. I am the one, the only one, through whom the people of God can produce good fruit. Jesus lived a perfect life on this earth. He lived in perfect obedience to his Father. He was the vine that produced a harvest of the most beautiful fruit. So firstly, we see this morning that Jesus is the true vine, the true Israel, the only one through whom the people of God can produce good fruit. Secondly, Jesus points to two different branches. Jesus speaks here of two different people, using this analogy of the vine and its branches, one that bears fruit and is pruned or cleaned so that it will be even more fruitful, so that it will bear even more fruit, and one, the other branch, that bears no fruit and is cut off and later burned. So let's take these one at a time. There is a person who appears to be part of a vine. That is, a person who appears to be a follower of Jesus, but is fruitless. In the backdrop to this story, what has just happened in chapter 13, two chapters earlier, Judas has left to betray Jesus. The disciple of Jesus, one of the 12, Judas, left his master Jesus to betray him to the authorities. And Judas is a picture of the fruitless branch that is cut off. When Jesus spoke earlier in chapter 13, when he washed the disciples' feet, you might remember, he showed through this that the disciples were clean through his death for their sins that was just about to take place. And here we read, Jesus answered, chapter 13, verse 10, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone was clean. Jesus knew what kind of branch Judas was. Judas, the betrayer, had not fooled Jesus. He bore no fruit. His faith was not in Jesus, his Messiah. He was not remaining in Jesus, the vine. And he showed this by his betrayal. We're told here the outcome of those who do not trust in and continue to live in Christ. They are fruitless. They are cut off and burned. Judgment is coming for all who do not trust in Jesus. All who do not remain in Jesus will suffer eternal punishment. It's easy to say, isn't it? It's hard to bear. If this is the horrible fate of the fruitless branches, the person who does not trust in and live in Christ, how about the other branch that Jesus speaks about? What does Jesus mean here by this phrase, remain in me? Jesus explains what he means by the analogy itself, doesn't he? Just as a branch needs to be connected to the vine to produce fruit, so you, if you are my followers, need to be connected to me. I am in relationship to you, my followers, as a vine is to a branch. Jesus says here in verse 5, apart from me you can do nothing. As a branch that is not sustained by the vine does not produce fruit, so too someone who does not remain connected to Jesus the vine cannot produce fruit. Apart from Jesus, his followers can do nothing. We cannot bear fruit apart from him. But what is this fruit that Jesus speaks about here? Well, put simply, it appears best to take it as the attitudes and actions that are pleasing to God. Attitudes and actions that are pleasing to God. Attitudes and actions of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Also, the idea of the disciples being appointed by Jesus to go in verse 16 and bear fruit seems connected with fruit. So, that people coming to faith through the gospel being proclaimed is also the fruit that comes to those who remain in Jesus. Remaining in Jesus, trusting in him and his power to save through his message, through his gospel, by his Spirit, is the only way that people come to faith through us. For Jesus says in the same verse, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Jesus is the only one who saves people, but he uses us, his people, as we share his good news, and he brings fruit. That is, other believers that likewise come to remain in him. You might have noticed Jesus switches here from "remain in me" to "remain in my love." I believe he's really saying the same thing. Remain in me, remain in my love. Stay connected to me, to my love. But how are we to know that we are remaining in Jesus? How are we to do that? Well, Jesus points out a number of things. He points to having our words remaining in us, having his words remain in us. Look at verse 7. "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." What does it mean that Jesus' words remain in us? It's not simply only memorizing the scriptures, because we know the devil knew the scriptures and used them against Jesus in his temptation. And remember what Jesus said to the religious leaders of his time. "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts." These religious leaders certainly knew the scriptures. They knew the Bible. That wasn't their problem. Their problem was that then no fruit was produced in their heart. They were hard-hearted and dead to the love of God and love of people. They were not reliant upon and remaining in the vine that is Jesus. But what does it mean that Jesus' words remain or abide in us? Well, someone's helpfully worded it this way. I think it helps. They take root. Jesus' words take root and bear the fruit of holiness. As we read and memorize and take in his words, they change us. It changes the way that we think. It changes the way that we live. It shows us our sin. We realize our guilt before God. His words create a certain hope in us of forgiveness and eternal life. We remain in Jesus as his word continues to remain in our lives. And Jesus says here in verse 2 that the Father prunes, or more literally, cleans the branch that bears fruit. That is, cleans by pruning to make it more fruitful. And then in verse 3, just after this, he says, "You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Jesus' word, God's word, is his tool to prune us, to clean us, to convict us and remind us, and by his Spirit's power to change us. So remaining in Jesus looks like remaining in his word, letting his scriptures lead our lives and change our thinking. Jesus also points to our obedience to him. Remaining in Jesus looks like obedience to him. love and obedience, Jesus says here, are inseparably linked. Just earlier on, Jesus has said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Again, he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And again, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And now in our passage this morning, verse 10 says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. And Jesus' love for his Father was shown in obedience to his Father. John 14:21, Jesus says, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Jesus' love for his Father was shown in his obedience to his Father. And Jesus says here to us, if you remain in my love, or if you remain in me, the evidence that you remain in me is that you will keep my commands. And Jesus says that our obedience to his commands is the evidence that we are truly his disciples. So what is Jesus' command? His command is love. Have a look with me here at verses 12 and 13 again. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus' command for his disciples is to love one another, to love just as he has loved us in laying down his life for us, his friends. Of course, we don't deserve for Jesus to call us his friends. We don't deserve that Jesus suffers and dies under the punishment of God in our place for our sin and wrongdoing. This love of Jesus is the same self-sacrificing, giving love that we are called as his followers to have for each other. And this incredible love, listen to verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. That is mind-blowing. Jesus loves his people with the same love that the Father loves him with. So how can we hold grudges? How can we not forgive one another? How can we not love each other when we have been so incredibly and undeservingly loved? Lastly this morning, what does this all mean for us? Jesus tells his disciples here why he has spoken these words to them. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus' words are for his followers' joy, for our joy. They're not spoken to be a burden to us, but they are the path to greatest joy in him. If you're sitting here this morning overwhelmed with the feeling that you can't do it, that you won't make it to continuing following Jesus, well, stop trusting in your ability and strength to follow him. And start, or maybe come back to, relying on Jesus' ability to bear fruit in you, to hold on to you, and remain in his love. Remain in his love. Jesus says here to his disciples, and to us, his disciples, his followers this morning, continue in me. Continue in my love. Continue in my words. Continue in my love. Soak it in. Live in it. Live out of my love. Think about it. Rest in it. Dwell on it. Remain in it. Never turn from it. Continuing in his words. Let his words soak into your lives. Meditate on them day and night. As Alan's just read for us this morning, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. The one who meditates, soaks in the Word of God, lives in it and on it and out of it, who abides in the love of God through Jesus Christ, this is the one that we are to be. Jesus is the vine. He is the only source of life and sustenance, the source of our fruit bearing. How do we bear fruit in the Christian life? How do we bear love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? How do we see people come to faith through the gospel? We continue in the fruit-producing one, Jesus Christ, the very source of our life. We continue in Him. We continue in His words, in His love. We live in obedience to Him. And this is speaking about a union with the believer and Christ like no other union. A union that is so close that we become one with Christ. Paul says it like this in Galatians 2. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Who are you remaining in this morning? If you are a branch, what is your vine? Where do you get your sustenance, your joy, your peace, your life from? Who do you get it from? If your whole life could be summed up that you are a branch that is fed by a vine, that is given life through that vine, what is that vine? I want to ask you this morning, I want to invite you to close your eyes, and I'm going to reread Jesus' words here, and I want just to allow some time for us to meditate on His words. And then after I read them, I'm going to allow some time for us to pray and to be able to confess our sins, to be able to trust in Him. Maybe for the first time this morning, maybe once again, like I need to every day. But let me read these words and just invite you to close your eyes and meditate, and then I'll allow some time for prayer. Jesus spoke these words. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other.